Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comwalk Center in Claremont, California. And I, along with Dr. Betty J. Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, are your co-hosts for tonight's evening on Signs of Life Radio. Tonight, we discuss personal experiences. We want to hear from you about your stories, your visions, your dreams, what it feels like when you share these experiences with others. And we're here to support you and help you integrate them. Although mediums provide a valuable connection with the deceased, we are not focused on mediums for tonight. We focus on your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. So I'd like to give you our call-in numbers because we are waiting to hear from you. 888-627-6008. And welcome, Betty.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we are here tonight, Kim and I. Without Janet, Janet is on vacation, so they're just the two of us. We encourage you to call in, and so we won't be sitting over here without hearing from any of you.
Oh, right. The best part of the show is you, so yes. Please keep that in mind. And if you have any hesitation, I encourage you to, as they say, put on your brave and pick up the phone and talk about things that are important to you that you just don't feel as comfortable sharing with anybody who particularly crosses your path. So,
yeah, and we, Kim was going to mention this, that she and I have another program through Forever Family Foundation that you might be interested in. It's similar to this one. Do you want to describe it, Kim?
That's right. The Visionary Explorers Group is a joint project of the Comwalk Center and Forever Family Foundation. And people who are in that group are members of Forever Family Foundation. And it's very easy to join. It's free to join. And when you go to www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including how to become a member. And so if you'd like to join our Visionary Explorers group, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment, you just have to become a member of Forever Family and then join the Comlock Center newsletter at kamlak.com. And we meet once a month on the second Saturday of the month on webcam technology. We gather for online sharing and we talk about these very things. And
you know, at 11 Pacific time.
11 Pacific, 3 yeah. Eastern.
And the nice thing about it, I think, is that you can see each other. You know, it's kind of nice to see each other and meet them over a period of months. Many people come for several months following a death, and they gain a great deal, but they also give so much. And, you know, when they no longer need that kind of conversation, they leave, but they sometimes come back just to see how everything is going on.
Right, right. And so, we started that in 2014, so it's been 8 years.
Yes. So I think you'd enjoy it. And we've developed really beautiful relationships. Many of the people who come do. And we learn so much. And, you know, we have a little bit more time to really go into some of their experiences. So I think, do we have a caller?
We actually have two. First up is Linda from Arkansas. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, then. How are you?
I'm very good. Very glad to have gotten through.
Good.
We are too.
So you have a story, I think, to tell us?
Yes. I've had many different dreams and experiences, but the one that I wanted to tell you about was very different than any other that I had. And so At the time, I was going to college and working full-time, and I would usually get to my college classes right at the deadline, and so there wasn't any time to really talk before class or anything like that. And this specific day, I had gotten off early, and it just so happened. It was perfect, and so I got to class early, and I was waiting around, and another girl was there, and I could tell that she was very upset and quiet, and I just felt really drawn to, you know, see if she was okay, if I could do anything for her. And so I asked her, you know, are you okay? Is something wrong? And she started to tell me this story that her husband had just been killed a couple of weeks before that. And he was a security guard, and he was training someone else on the job, and he was a younger guy, and there was some kind of freak accident, and the other security guard ended up accidentally shooting her husband. And so it was very traumatic, of course, and she had a little boy, and she was very upset, and she said, I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know if I should quit classes, but I just kept feeling like, you know, he would want me to go on, and he would want me to try to finish, and so that's why I'm here tonight. And as she's saying this, I start to hear like this voice inside my head that was not my voice, and it's saying, yes, I want her to go on. Tell her yes, that I want her to keep going to school. And I didn't really know what to make of it, and I didn't want to say that I was hearing this voice because I didn't want her to think I was strange. And so I said, oh, yes, you know, I do think that that's what he would want, you know. And then she went on to say, you know, just how much she loved him. And I could hear this voice again, this man's voice saying, tell her I love her too. Tell her I love her so much, and I'm never going to leave her. And just, you know, he just kept on and on. And I said, oh, you know, I was trying to think, like, how am I going to say this? And so I said, well, you know, oh, I'm sure he loved you so much too. And I can just tell, you know. And so I felt like she, maybe it was getting awkward, you know, because I don't know this girl. I've never talked to her before. And so the class was getting ready to start. And so I sit down at my seat, and I turn around, my back's to her, and the voice continues, and it says, tell her to pick up her cup. And she had a fast food styrofoam cup on her desk. And he said, tell her to pick up her cup, and there'll be a message for her. And so I thought, well, this is crazy. Like, there's no way there's some written message, you know, under her cup. And so I thought, I'm not doing it, right? Like, in my head, like, I'm speaking back to him, like, I'm not doing it. And so it continued, tell her to pick up the cup. Tell her to pick up the cup, and there'll be a message. Do it. Tell her. And so I thought, okay, this is not going to stop until, like, I look like a insane person. I turn around and tell her that she has to pick up her cup. And so I turn around right before class starts, and I said, hey, this is going to sound really crazy, but I hear this voice, and I think it's your husband. And he's saying to pick up your cup, and there's going to be a message from him. And so she looks at me really strange, and then she picks up the cup. And from where she's standing, she can't see anything. But from my point of view, the light is shining just right. And the moisture from her cup was underneath it in a perfect heart, like no other droplets anywhere. It was just a perfect heart of water underneath her cup. And I said, oh, come here, and you can see it. And she walked around on the other side and saw the heart, and she starts to cry. I start to cry. And then here comes the whole rest of the class. We never got to speak about it after that. And so it was so interesting. And I saw her later in a class, maybe a year later. And I thought, oh my gosh, I think that's the girl. You know, and I noticed she had a necklace on with a wedding ring around it. And I thought, oh, that's for sure. And so I was trying to make eye contact because it was so awkward that I had never spoke to her after that. And she, as we passed each other, she looked at me and said, yes, I'm the one. And that's it. And we never even so, yeah.
I love that.
That's such a great story. Yeah. But all I can imagine how you had to be courageous to do that, and out of, you know, one would certainly fear of being taken as a nutcase
or worse, or just really
right. Because I thought if she picks up the cup and there's nothing there, then the lunatic in this class.
But I mean, there it was. It is so interesting. Well, thank you so much.
That was a very beautiful, wonderful story.
And it's interesting that, you know, sometimes when a person we love doesn't come through us, I mean, I can imagine she'd think, well, why didn't he come through me? Why for this person I don't even know? But there are many, I suppose, explanations, possibilities about that. But, you know, sometimes in our grief or just for various reasons, people on the other side can't get through us, but they're there for us. And if there is someone present that they can flow through, they do that. And you know how very often mediums tell about the situation when they are ready to, you know, and they do contact the other world, that there's a flood of people. They're just waiting for some channel to get through. And so you were that channel that night. And thank heavens you were courageous enough to go forth with it.
That's right. You gave a gift. Yeah. You helped him give a gift.
Oh, yeah. I'm grateful it must have been for you.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello, Anne from Arizona. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you.
Oh, great.
How are you?
So I'm good. Thank you. I have a story and I have a question around it. I'm hoping maybe you can help me out with a little bit.
Okay. I'll try.
Okay.
Sure.
Here it is.
So a few weeks ago, my husband passed away in the beginning of the year, and I had been kind of moping around, you know, and feeling sorry for myself and telling him, you know, I wish we had more time to make memories. That was a big thing for me. And I got up one morning, and in our offices were next door to each other in the house. We had a wall between them. So literally one door next to the other. And his door had been closed because I couldn't bear to walk by it. But I knew that he had a baseball in there on a shelf. It was a memento from one trip that we had gone to. And I got up and walked into my office, usually the first place I go to drop my phone off, open the blinds. And in the middle of my floor, that baseball was there. No one else in my house except for my very small dog.
Oh, in a completely different room?
In her office, yeah, not his, but hers.
Yeah.
His door was closed, right?
Oh, his door was closed, yes. And the night before, when I went to bed, I closed the blinds in my office. House was locked up tight. The baseball was not there, but it was there in the morning in my office, right in the middle of the floor where I couldn't miss it.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I thought, well, that could be nothing but a sign from him.
Oh, I think so.
Telling me that we did have memories. Reminding me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So I took it as that until I decided to delve deeper. And this is where my question is. So I had been talking to a medium that is not a forever family medium. And I asked her about it. And instantly she says, no, that wasn't your husband. It was your father. And it really crushed me. And I don't see why it would have been my father. So she discounted it. And I don't, you know, so how do we know to trust our instincts or, you know, I don't know.
I think you said it.
I don't see why my.
Go ahead, Anne. Hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You don't see why what?
Yeah.
We missed a word or two, Anne. Something
I don't know,
up.
You know. Or is it something, do we want it to be something so bad that we make it so?
You know, I think what I was saying, you had said it when you said, why can't we trust our intuition enough? I think always the person experiencing it knows better than someone else. You had that very deep intuition and feeling experience. He was connected. Your husband was connected to that baseball, right?
It came from his room.
And from his room. And I think that trust yourself. I would be absolutely convinced that it was from him. I mean, of course it would be. It's his. Mm-hmm. And it was there in your study.
Yeah.
No, I think
it only makes, that's the most obvious answer.
It's the most obvious. Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, mediums don't always get it right. And I think we always first and foremost must trust our own experience. You know, that was a beautiful gift for you. I mean, it was in his office. The door was closed.
Well, how convincing
yours.
Can that be?
I mean, no, you were absolutely right.
And locked up tight, close this, close that. Next room still closed and the ball is in a different space.
Plus, that was your connection between you and him.
Right.
No, absolutely. And you know, Janet's not here tonight, but she has a lot of experiences of objects moving in her house. I mean, certainly it happens. And I just think all that you've said is absolutely accurate. That is your connection, a connection with him from his office into your office. And it's a beautiful gift. So I hope you can forget the other.
That's right. It was like the unlearn that answer.
Right. Yeah, he's probably disappointed. Yeah. Oh, why did someone say that?
Yeah.
Here he pulled this off. That's not
easy feat
to do from the other side.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and it reminds me of what you used to say about the dreamer holds the key.
Oh, absolutely.
Now here, the experiencer
holds the
key. The meaning it holds and the absolutely. Connections to the person who has the experience that are going to carry the most weight.
Was there anything that would connect your father to that ball?
Not at all. He's been gone for over 40 years. I was very young when he passed. No, nothing at all.
Well, I think that trust your intuition. You knew what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that feeling is real. That's real. And that's yours.
Right. Right. And as you always also
say. Yeah, it just totally crushed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope that you can let that go because there is so much evidence in the connectedness between you and your husband, his office, your office, the ball in his room. It's all of the connections that are there between you and him.
In your own sacred space of your whole home. That's pretty cordoned off space.
It is. And then add to that your feeling. We can hope and wish for a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily make them happen.
And doesn't convince your gut.
Yeah. So you knew that and that helped you. And hold on to it. It's a beautiful gift.
That's right. And if Janet were here, she'd say, and just say thank you.
Thank you for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, how nice.
It sits in the middle of my desk now.
That's good.
Yes, thank you.
Remember that with joy. Thank you. For
I needed to hear this tonight.
We needed to hear the story tonight.
Yeah, and we just want to convince you totally. You've got all of the evidence on your side.
Yes. And you're open and you'll see other
There will be other
experiences
things,
come your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks
so much.
Anne.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, well, those two were
bye-bye.
Really great.
Thank you.
Bye, Anne. Wonderful stories, both of them.
Yeah. And you know, it's such a fragile, delicate experience when you experience something like Anne did. And we can be easily thrown off because it's so wrapped up in deep feeling and emotion, and it's a delicate situation. Yeah, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful when things like that happen to us. But our whole culture has been, how can you say, it's been structured to dismiss everything.
Yes.
Now, that's not what was happening here with the medium, but Anne had all of the connectedness that she needs. Anyway, you had something you wanted to say, huh?
Well, first of all, let me go ahead and give our call-in numbers again. 888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. And while we're waiting for our next caller, I would just like to say that, as I had shared a few times in the last several months, I've had several family members pass in the last 18 months. And I've had some interesting experiences. And one of the more recent ones that I don't know exactly how to evaluate, but it totally got my attention, was a few weeks ago, I was on the phone with a friend and her husband had recently passed. And so she had called to say when the service was going to be. And while we were on the phone, I heard a computerized or automated voice saying, "Hello," in a female voice, but kind of not totally female voice, but more feminine type. And then a few minutes later, I heard it again. And so I asked her, if she had heard it, and she hadn't. So I thought, that's very strange. And then the next day, I was on the phone with someone else, and twice there was this breakthrough. "Hello," almost like the old party line that you'd see in the movies or yeah, something. Right. And but the kicker was, after I hung up from the call, I had another one. And I had still the earphone, well, what do you call them? The wireless buds in my ear. And I heard once I was totally off the phone, but just hadn't removed the earpiece, another "hello." And I thought of different stories we've heard from people in the Visionary Explorers about EVP communications, or one person who shared that after her mom had passed, a song started playing on her cell phone, just totally out of the blue. She hadn't touched it. It was across the room and she had no clue why that would just all of a sudden play. It had never done before. And then a few weeks later, she had been talking to her niece and she said that that was a story that Bono had written for his mom after his mom had passed. And it meant so much to our visionary explorer.
Yes, yes. She was so wishing she could get some kind of sign and hadn't. And then that happened, which was really a beautiful experience. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And with that hello, you know, as Kim was telling me about that earlier, and she's, "Well, I don't want to make anything of it. It was simply a hello." And, you know, you always think with technology, something can break through from somewhere and not be from the other side.
Yeah.
But we were saying the most important thing about that is that we leave it open. We don't know. We don't have to analyze it and determine its source right now. We might need a little more of something to happen to know, but it's so important to keep it open. Also with coincidences, when my son died, there were so many meaningful coincidences that occurred that it was phenomenal. And I didn't know the meaning of them, but I held them in my mind and I thought, maybe there will be a time when the dots will connect. I will understand it. I know it's something rather phenomenal. And maybe this is not phenomenal. Maybe it could be too. Mm-hmm. But even in such cases, I think we hold our minds open to see where it might go. I remember that we had a person on the Visionaries from Scotland whose wife had died. And he lived alone then after she died. And he was in the shower. And of course, all the steam developed in the shower. And when he got out, there was a hello written in the mist on the mirror in the bathroom.
And
there was certainly, he was the only one there and he had not written hello on the mirror. And no one else had been in the house. And there were more connections there, you know, and he was very moved by that. But he also had other experiences. I think he said that there was a tape
it was an audio file he had had on his computer. I don't remember the subject or substance of it, but somehow the date on that, and it had to do with his wife, her name was Frances, and the date changed to the date of her death.
Yeah.
The file name for that audio file somehow changed to the date. Yeah. You know,
I remember now. Yeah. And we just, you know, we can't be so determined about things, but they are incredible things to to note. And our culture has been so materialistic, and you know, if you have a dream where you ate too much, or if you have a vision, you're hallucinating. That's although I think that all of us, everyone who probably listens to this show, we're in the process of moving beyond that, because we know that there is meaning and that we can have contact with the other world. And we know that life continues after death. And we're really trying to create a new myth of meaning. But so we stay open for it. But our culture has made it very, very difficult. Now I think we're changing. I think a lot of things are changing. But there is still that old rejection that can be in us, you know, that will come forward and say, oh, well, it's nothing, you know. But we're all trying to say, no, let's keep it open.
That's right.
Yeah, it's we don't want to rush to judgment or say, oh, it was the other. No, but open.
Right, right. So today was the day where I was digging around in a visionary explorer memory book in my head. And I recalled an article that I had written with permission of two of our visionaries who were moms who both lost a son. And the story was told basically in their own words, but I wanted to share it with you if we had time. And so far we still have time. So I'll share Liz's. Now, Liz was working in her backyard one afternoon, and she had gone into the house to do a few things. And then she realized she had left her cell phone in the backyard, so she headed back outside, and she said, and I quote, "I literally felt this force of some kind," she said, "that stopped her in her tracks." And she had been in the place where she and Christopher had had their last conversation.
Christopher was your son.
Christopher was 24 when he had passed, and he had passed like 4.5 years before that. But somehow that day she was passing in that space, and there was some energy of force, this overwhelming emotional force that she said brought her to her knees. Mm. It was wild. And then she said that she had decided to sit in the front yard where they had planted an oak tree after Christopher had passed. And there was a plaque on the tree in Christopher's memory. And then all of a sudden, one of Christopher's very close friends showed up, and they kind of fell into each other's arms. She had shared her story. They hugged each other. They felt his presence and his embrace when they were hugging. And it was just wild. And he had said to Liz that he has his own kind of synchronistic events. And he said, and as a matter of fact, I'm wearing his hat right now. and that was pretty wild. And then the Domino's pizza truck pulled up, and they both just burst into laughter through their tears, because the kids all used to order Domino's, and they thought it was just some kind of, you know, spirit joke, bringing levity to this most painful moment.
But that's so interesting that all three of those things happened in the same day. If she had that experience in the backyard, and then his friend appears, and he's wearing
Christopher's hat. He's like, I even have his hat on. And just the emotional overwhelm took them both.
And then
it just took them both.
Yeah, those things are they're wonderful. And when you experience it, you know, I mean, what are the chances of those three things happening like that at the same time?
And Liz had walked that path many times from the house to the backyard, and just something happened on that day. And she had said it was like we all go through the busyness of life, and sometimes we don't pay attention to the messages sent. Mm-hmm. And then she said, but on that day, it was like, hey, Ma, stop, I'm here. And she said, it's like I'm living my life with him in spirit. Well, she's still here too. So I just,
it's beautiful.
I love hearing these stories and just knowing how much more connected we are than we possibly imagine some days.
It's so true. And in the past, people had these experiences, but they were afraid to tell other people because they were ridiculed or laughed at, or they're thought to be strange. Because we live in a world we're in transition, but the old world view is that there's nothing but matter. There's no meaning, no purpose. We're a fluke of nature, and when we're dead, we're dead. And so that has been so deeply rooted in people throughout the Western world that it's been hard for people to tell their stories to others. So I'm always grateful when someone is courageous and
right
and gives
willing to risk reputation.
Yes, that's right.
To be true with people you trust, you have to just be
trust them, and that's why we have this program and also Visionaries. Mm-hmm. But in the past, I had heard people when I was a child growing up talk about things. Now the women were somewhat open, but they wouldn't talk to too many people, usually not even their husbands, because it was just kind of dismissed. So, well, that's just a coincidence. And that's, as I said earlier, it's so important to hold these coincidences and be open.
Right.
And certainly with her, I mean, those three things, you'd be very hard to dismiss.
Yes.
Those interconnections.
Yes, yes. And I think back to your open mind, it cannot be overrated.
No.
I mean, at a minimum, we should at least be open to considering what comes.
But we were taught to be closed.
Right.
And there's no way anything can happen because there is no other world. And if someone you love has died, there's no consciousness left. And when I was a child and I heard those stories, death was a word I could hardly bear to hear or say because it's the whole universe seemed empty.
Oh my God.
Because people held those views and expressed them.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Hi, Tiffany from Montana. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good evening. How are you, ladies?
We're fine, okay. Thank you. How are you?
Well, honestly, my heart is beating out of my chest. I think I'm kind of nervous.
Oh, well,
we know that feeling.
We can walk through that together, Tiffany.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so my story is this. In 2015, the love of my life died from complications related to brain cancer. Mm-hmm. And prior to his passing, I brought him into my home. We didn't live together. I think that's why we stayed together so long. Anyway, I brought him into my home to be his caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away in my home on September 15th, surrounded by all his loved ones and myself and our dog. And then a short time later, well, about 3 years later, I moved to a different house, and I kept the other house and had some renters. And one time the mom and the daughter who were renting from me brought me over, and they were like, "We've got a really strange question to ask you." And I'm like, "Okay." And they said, "Who is the really tall, dark-haired, good-looking man that keeps asking about you?"
Oh my God.
And I was like, context, more information, like what? And she, the daughter who is a preteen, she said, "He's so sweet. He's so nice." But she goes, I wake up at night and he's sitting on this bench at the foot of my bed, and he's just sitting there just very politely. And when I wake up, he just always just wants to know, "Where's Tiffany?"
Oh my God.
And I was like, "Whoa, okay, so I guess I didn't necessarily tell you." but they were really open and really sweet about it. And so then a couple months later, I had a really super vivid dream. And in the dream, I was back at the house, and he was there. And he was standing there with our golden retriever, Cassie. And Cassie had, I think she hung on until he passed, because she died a couple weeks after he did. And so in the dream, he was standing there with Cassie, and he looked great, and he looked gorgeous as usual, and all healthy and everything. And she was just wagging her tail. And he walked up the stairs, and he walked into the room where he had passed away. And I followed him up there, and he just smiled at me and just with all sorts of love and everything else. And he said, "You know something?" He said, I just came to say that it's time for me to go. I see that you're okay."
Oh,
and
gosh.
Then that, he and Cassie kind of seemed to kind of be pulled backwards and then just faded out. Mm. And I just woke up literally like weeping.
Oh my gosh.
So that's my story.
Oh, that's an incredible story.
It doesn't even sound like a dream.
No, it sounds like you're really...
Especially, I mean, never mind all the vivid context and details and accurate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that fading out, that doesn't happen in dreams.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Don't you think...
What do you do think about that?
Oh, I was just... that when I was weeping, I wasn't sad weeping. Because I was just like, oh, God, I love you so much. Thank you so much for taking time. Because I know, at least I believe it takes an awful lot of energy for the departed to kind of make their presence known that way. It was so vivid. And I really did. I cut the story down quick to kind of details because because I didn't want to take up too much time. But it was so insanely vivid. And the fact that Cassie was standing there with him and everything, I was just like, oh, thank you so much.
Well, it was just I guess what Kim was trying to say, it's so much more than a dream. I mean, it really happened.
You were really in that other world. That intense,
he was in your world.
Feeling, and the fact that they were both together, too, is a beautiful thing. Of course, you'd want that, you know? Yeah. And it would be good for both.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, so it's that kind of experience that heals, you know, with, I just, oh. when people, Isn't it true?
When was the dream?
So the renters told me about it October, November, and then the dream came in like March.
Wow.
So within months of them kind of mentioning that he had been kind of like, where is she? Like, where is she? And they're like, she moved. So I don't know if he had time to find me.
He was going back to the familiar place, but I can't even imagine that there could be a more beautiful experience for you with him.
Yeah.
Thank you. A rich one there.
It is. Yeah. And you know, when you have something like that, I mean, that's when the dimensions are blended. They're right together. And when we experience that.
But that fading out, saying, I'm going to go ahead. You're okay. I'm going to go ahead now.
Yeah, what a loving. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for telling us. I love that story.
Yeah. Is there anything
thank
else you
want to share? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Is there anything else you want to share?
I think I took up enough time. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, take care. Thank you. Yeah, I only asked that question because she had rushed a little through it. And I thought if there were any other details that she felt comfortable sharing, that she was welcome to do that.
Well, those kinds of experiences really help to confirm for all of us.
Oh, I know. I know. I could share some of Lisa's experiences that also came from the same article that was published in the Ferber
Lisa
Family
was
Foundation
also
magazine.
Visionaries, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. So Lisa's son, Graham, passed when he was 20, and Lisa would communicate with Graham through electronic voice phenomena using water, and it would work for her indoors or outdoors. And this one time she asked Graham, can you just give me something to tell me that you're here? And he responded, if you need me, say my name out loud because I always hear you.
Oh, I'd forgotten that.
I know. And
say it out loud.
Say my name out loud. You used to say something about, you know, when people pass, to say speak their name out loud, and it kind of helps orient them in terms of their crossing. And do you remember anything like that?
I don't. That's interesting.
That's right. And Lisa had also shared with me for that article. She had asked Graham on another session, Are you going to come with us to Madrid? And he replied, we're going to be in Atlanta for a couple more days. And she thought, what the heck? And so when she asked him why, he said he was attending a symposium. And she said, I admit that's not a word I would use. And she said she had asked him what the conference is about. And he says, Mom, it's about consequences. And that really hit her in a profound way, because it really tied into her mothering her children. And one of the key things was that there are consequences in life. And you just kind of have to know that growing up, that your actions have consequences. So that meant a lot to her also.
Well, and wasn't she felt that the very, I think he died on graduation night.
Yes.
And that she felt that he hadn't been careful, and that's why, mm-hmm. and that was the consequence.
Kind of an underlying theme.
Yes, it was an underlying theme of their conversations all the way through. And he's saying there are consequences. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange, I mean, that he would say in a particular place where they're having a conference, do spirits attend these conferences?
At first she took it literally, and she started researching conferences going on in Atlanta. And then she realized it was a symbolic message.
You think?
Okay. Yeah. Well, she said she couldn't find anything on consequences in Atlanta around that time.
Right. Well, that reminds me of something that I forgot. I had been in the Jung Society for some time and on the board, but I had never at that point given a presentation. And so they asked me if I would do it, and I did. And I was a little nervous. It was my first time. Mm-hmm. And later, and we had a group at the same time, a small group of people. We called it SAS, Studies in Altered States. And we tried all kinds of different things, meditation and music and chanting. And someone came one time with the Ouija board. And I thought, what's this? I wasn't open as I should have been. Anyway, we had some phenomenal things that happened. And the interesting thing in relationship to my talk was that the very next time we met and we used the Ouija board, we had two people who did that who couldn't see the pointer. And then someone else wrote down what it was and others observed. And immediately the words came in that we attended the meeting where Betty spoke, and then they described what happened and that they had been very pleased with what I had said.
Oh my God.
And I'd totally forgotten that until you said funny. That. I'm glad I remembered, because that means, I guess, that these very often spirits, yeah, whether they, I guess they didn't exactly organize a conference, but they did, they were there and they did have something to say about it. And,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I had forgotten about it. And I remember, since a new experience for me, I was really, it helped me, let's put it that way.
Oh my. Well, and that makes me think also about, you think about learning and continuing to learn on the other side. And yes. You wouldn't think that it would have something to do with anything going on this side, but why not?
Of course, I'd be thinking, yes. Well, and some people have had experiences with loved ones who died, and they say, I'm studying and I'm in classes and that kind of thing. It's so vast. I always think of, in the New Testament, and my father's house are many mansions. There are probably many, many, many realities and dimensions of where we experience. And certainly, I think, and I've said it many times, I think that it is our birthright to be in touch with the subtle world, the spirit dimension. We are both physical and spirit. I love how Fred Alan Wolf, quantum physicist, said that matter is how spirit appears in the physical universe. So we are spirit. Of course, we should be able to be in touch. And I think that the way we have thought, having a worldview that there's nothing but matter, has created tremendous pollution, you might say, around the planet that makes it hard. This belief system limits our ability to experience our birthright of being in touch with the other world and working consciously with spirits in the other world. I think that's truly our destiny and our birthright.
That makes utter sense.
Yeah. I was thinking, when I was thinking about the meeting tonight, I was remembering my study of the San Bushman, and I write about it in my second book, Merchants of Light. The consciousness changing the world. And San Bushman were, I was so inspired by reading about them. They're simply inspiring people and just amazing people. And they, I realized through other people who'd worked with them that they know how to trigger their consciousness into a vast consciousness, cosmic consciousness, where they do experience spirit, and they do it as a group. They don't sit alone in a room and meditate. They dance and they touch each other, and they can even take energy and mold it into a little needle or arrow and throw it at someone else to kind of awaken them to this consciousness. So I think there's so many ways of being in touch with the other world. But one thing that I loved about them, one of many things, is that they had a dance for everything. If they danced when the sun would rise, it's like it was an experience, and they were grateful that the sun had one more time risen. And when they saw the moon, and they danced for the birth of a child, and they danced for the death, and they danced for love, everything they danced for. And I often think that we would experience more of spirit if we moved our bodies more in a dance form. I just think that music and dance can open up the other world for us. And but I loved this, is that there were two special dances. I guess all of their dances really were special, but there was a dance for the little hunger and a dance for the big hunger. And the little hunger was, of course, what we do to survive in the world. How do we get food? How do we survive? How do we stay healthy? This is hunger, the dance for the little hunger. But the dance for the big hunger makes so much sense, because that was the dance for meaning and purpose in the universe, that they would experience that. They would know that. That there is meaning and purpose, but they dance to know that, to remember that, to experience that. And I was so moved by that, because so much of my study has been, of course, in our situation in the Western world, is that we did not have a myth of meaning in that way. We have a myth of survival. All of us get jobs, we're trained, until that myth of survival becomes practically our whole life and everything that means anything. But what we need is the myth of meaning. And they said that if the myth of survival is contained in the larger myth of meaning, everything is fine. But if you lose the myth of meaning, as we have, and you have only the survival, as we have, then we will be pathological. We'll be very ill. And I think that that's what's happening to us. And it's strange, I think, that we say, well, there's no myth of meaning, there's religion. Religion in the West is a belief. It's not an experience. It's not gnosis. And for the San, they experience the other world. They don't believe it. As one person said the other day, in the West, you always hear my faith, my belief. And in the East, you don't, because everything there is based on each person's experience.
Wow.
What I experience, my own experience. But because of the censorship of the Roman Church and others in the Western world, we had the potential to have gnosis within the church, but they discarded the gnosis. All the Gnostics were heretics, and they honored only the doctrine and the belief. And so that destroyed our myth of meaning, in the sense that we experience it for ourselves. Now, I know many people do believe, and it's a beautiful and moving experience for them, but it is also our birthright to have the actual experience, to know for ourselves, not because the church tells us. And of course, science took away our myth of meaning, because again, the Roman Church censored what science could study. It could only study matter. And so for centuries, we have lived in the world that we all know, that we do not have that myth of meaning that is rooted in our own individual spiritual experience. And I think I am grateful to the San people for having lived such joyful lives. And they have such joy and such a sense of humor to remind us that, you know, my profession is my, or sometimes the profession leads you to your myth of meaning too. But So often we train to be in business or finances or whatever. That's wonderful. But we also need to have that embraced by a much larger and vaster meaning. And I think that's what we're doing here. All of you who call in, who value these experiences, that's exactly what we're working for, is to create and make conscious and vivid and radiant and alive this myth of meaning that will embrace our survival, our myths of survival. So we're thankful to all of you who call in and give us so many, tell us so many wonderful stories. It's all in the process of creating that living myth of memory that will save our civilization.
Save our own souls.
Really. Save our souls and the civilization.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. While you're speaking, I was remembering some of the other things I had learned from you about the sand. And the word infinitesimally small came to mind.
Oh, that's so important. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it isn't some big thing, something vast. It's that they see the cosmos, as Blake would say, in a grain of sand, the universe in a grain of sand. This very smallest thing, the image of God is a mantis.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, very powerful. But yes, the very small, they are able to see the vast cosmos because it's in every grain of sand.
Right. Yeah, and their joy and gratitude are universal.
Well, that's it, isn't it? The gratitude just brings tremendous joy. Imagine being so grateful that the sun comes up in the morning.
Can you imagine?
I love
Well, the way we say it, or we grew up hearing, is every day above ground is a good day.
Oh, yeah, kind of negative.
It's totally different than that.
Right.
It's really just appreciation for all the little things. And I remember my friend Charla, one time she said to me, oh, like my papa always said, it's the little things.
And it's true. It's really true. Well, and I think of the big things that those of you who called in, I mean, and how grateful you are for them and how healing they are. So, well, I think that we have, it's about time for us to say goodnight.
It's very close to that time. And since Janet isn't here to offer the closing prayer, I would just leave you with some wise words from Brené Brown from her Daring Greatly, how the courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live, love, parent, and lead. And she says, the willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time.
Oh, I like it.
So thank you to Linda and Anne and Tiffany and to the listeners.
Yes, we'll see you, hear you next month.
The fourth Thursday of the month on the next Signs of Life radio show that will focus on your personal experiences. Thank you and have a good evening.